Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The FT.
An Irish bailout. What will it mean for your savings, bond funds and bank shares? Investment timing. Can private investors ever get it right? And interest-only mortgages. Where can you still get an affordable loan? All this to come on this week's FT Money Show. I'm Matthew Vincent, and I'll be giving you the lowdown on all of these money matters in downloadable form with my colleagues from FT Money, Alice Ross.
Hello.
And Tanya Poley.
Hi.
And our special studio guest, Jamie Bullock, Head of Third Party Marketing at Barclays Wealth.
Good afternoon.
So let's start with the money news. This week, a European Union bailout of Ireland became inevitable after Irish Central Bank Governor Patrick Honan said the government was definitely likely to ask for a loan of tens of billions of euros to show that Ireland has sufficient firepower to deal with any market concerns. Representatives from the EU and the International Monetary Fund arrived in Dublin on Thursday to examine the books of Ireland's main banks and assess what scale of financial assistance might be required. EU financial officials suggested that the conditions of the bailout package would be outlined sometime next week. But what does it mean for private investors in the UK who have deposits with Irish banks and investments in bond funds and bank shares? Alice, we've all been following this on a near hourly basis. I imagine there are some areas where private investors might be a little bit worried.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that if you were investing in the Irish stock market for growth, as some people have done in recent years, those days are probably gone now. I don't think we're expecting much growth from Ireland for quite some time. Specific Irish vehicles have been struggling. For example, the Gartmore Irish Growth is the only investment trust that invests in Ireland. It lost its manager a couple of months ago, and now the future of the fund is actually in question because people are just not really expecting any equity growth in Ireland.
And we all know what's happened to the Irish property market as well. But let's sort of look at UK investors who might have sort of indirect exposure to Ireland through, let's say, a European bond fund. Mm. What's the position for them?
Well, this kind of depends on what decisions they make in Ireland and whether they restructure government debt in Ireland, which might mean that investors have to take a haircut. But if you're in a general bond fund in Europe, there's good news elsewhere in Europe that will probably offset the effect of Ireland. So investors have been flocking into German bonds, for example, and those are giving these funds an uplift. So from a bond perspective, you're probably OK if you're in one of these general bond funds.
And I suppose we should say for those who haven't been following the Irish story as closely, by a haircut we mean that there would be restructuring of Irish government debt, which would mean that people wouldn't necessarily get back the amount that they had put into these bonds.
Exactly,
the amount they'd lose is the haircut.
That's the risk. Yeah.
So good news though that these might be balanced by the uplift in the price of German bonds. Of course, UK banks are quite heavily exposed both to Irish government debt but also to Irish bank debt as well.
Yeah, I mean, the UK banks are big lenders to Ireland, so there are some concerns over the effect that this could have on the UK banks and the UK financials. That is also a worry that some people have. But again, we're going to have to see how it pans out over the next week or so and exactly what the details are. I think the general message is, you know, don't panic, basically. One of the good pieces of news is that if you're with one of the Irish banks, you are still getting protection for your savings and deposits. So we're not really seeing any kind of a run on the banks, and no one is anticipating that at all.
That's a very good point. It's important to remember that the Irish deposit protection guarantee remains in place. That's up to €100,000, and it's only going to be strengthened, I suppose, by this bailout. And for those people who have more than 100,000 euros, the additional eligible liabilities guarantee, another Irish scheme, will cover sums above that level.
That's right. Yeah, you do have to check that your bank is part of that guarantee scheme, but most of them are, so you should be fine. And also, it's probably worth pointing out that savers with some of the UK arms of the Irish banks are also protected under the UK Financial Services Compensation Scheme, which is up to £50,000. And that's the Post Office and Allied Irish.
Exactly. And of course, the UK Financial Services Compensation Scheme protection level is going up in January. Mm. So it will match the Irish one of €100,000. So some reassurance there. Alice, thank you very much for that. And for full details of how the Irish bailout will affect you, look out for our coverage in the money section of this weekend's FT and on our website at ft.com/money. Still to come on the show, is it still possible to get an affordable mortgage on an interest-only basis? First, though, market timing. We all like to think that we can get our timing right when we invest in the stock market, buying into shares and funds at bargain prices and then selling a handsome profit just a few years later. But all too often, private investors buy high and sell low. Just think back to tech stocks and, of course, bank shares. So now, the boffins at Barclays Wealth and Cass Business School have done some research into how bad private investors are at timing the markets. They analysed data from 1992 to 2009 and found that investors who bought high and sold low lost up to 2% a year by doing so, which of course has a big compounding effect over time. Alice, were you surprised by these findings?
No, I don't think it's that surprising insofar as we're all aware that retail investors tend to be a little bit like lemmings when it comes to following the market trends. They always buy high and they sell low. They basically move with market sentiment. But it's interesting to have, you know, some exact figures based on this research, which is from 92 to 2009, so quite a decent stretch of time. And we found that, you know, returns have been slightly different in different sectors, haven't they, Jamie? So in some areas, retail investors did a lot worse, and in other areas, they didn't do quite as badly.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I think what we found for the research is that those investors who are predominantly invested in bond sectors didn't really suffer from the negative effect of time as much as those investors who are in equity sectors. Mm. And that's really down to the volatility of the underlying portfolios and stocks.
Mm. So if it's, I suppose that makes sense because if you're in equities and they're more volatile, the risk of losing the high days is going to be greater.
Exactly right. Your up days are going to be that much better and your down days are going to be that much worse, whereas a portfolio made up predominantly bonds will see a more sort of consistent return profile. Mm. So those investors who had a greater exposure don't really suffer from timing as much as those who are investing in sort of the high octane equity sectors.
Mm. And in fact, it's often the best time, people say, to sell your stocks when you see other people piling into an area. So I think I was looking at some separate data actually from Fidelity this week, which showed that if you'd missed the top 10 days over a 10-year period, the return on your investment could be significantly different than if you hadn't missed those top 10 days.
Exactly. What we found was is that the UK days was entirely consistent with the US experience. But what was quite interesting was that institutional investors or professional investors didn't suffer from the same gap as retail investors.
That's quite interesting, actually, because fund managers get quite a lot of stick for not being able to outperform their benchmarks and, you know, just moving in time with the market. But your research seems to suggest that at least they don't mistime the market.
No, I think from an asset allocation perspective, what the research probably is indicating is that they're more likely to time the market well than a retail investor who will follow market trends.
Mm.
And that's different to saying that fund managers will always outperform or not.
Yes.
But it's entirely consistent with the commercial property boom, the tech boom. But the point at which an investment theme actually makes it through to the consciousness of a retail investor, actually, normally that the theme has run its course in terms of an investment story.
Mm. And just briefly, how can we avoid these kind of errors? Should we just reverse that mentality and buy low, sell high?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. If you talk to many managers and IFAs, there's a mantra that is you spread your risk, diversify your portfolio, invest for the long term, and phase your investments.
Mm.
And if you do all those things, then you are able to minimise the effect of timing in the market. Investors also have to get over this mentality where if they want to maximise returns, they think they have to actively allocate their portfolios.
Mm.
And actually, a buy and hold strategy might be the best way to achieve their objectives.
Mm.
Make it sound so easy. Jamie, thank you very much indeed for that. And for more on the cost of market timing, and the point that Jamie was making, that you know, can simply buying and holding a well-diversified portfolio be any better? You can read Alice's analysis of market timing and buying exchange-traded funds in the money section of this weekend's FT and on our website at ft.com/money. And finally today, interest-only mortgages. Private banks are now becoming more cautious about interest-only lending on high loan-to-value ratios, as concerns that house prices will fall over the next 12 months increase. While some private banks would previously lend up to 80% on an interest-only basis, mortgage brokers claim that these lenders are now increasingly restricting the interest-only portion of the loan to 70% and insisting that the portion of the loan above this amount is paid on a capital and interest repayment basis. Tanya, private banks are obviously getting a little bit nervous about the housing market. Any other reasons why they might be doing this?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, most of the market will actually only offer up to between 60 to 70%. I mean, most private banks, that's kind of a typical conservative maximum loan to value for them. It was only a few lenders such as Coutts and Barclays Wealth that actually would offer up to 80% loan to value for interest only. And Handelsbanken would probably offer up to 75%. What we're seeing is these lenders are coming a bit more in line with the rest of the market and being a bit more conservative, just because they've got kind of things that they have to worry about, their capital requirements with the Basel legislation. And then also there's this kind of increasing worry that we've mentioned about house prices actually over the next 12 months might not do so well. We've already seen a bit of a slowdown, and there's sort of concerns that there could be a potential double dip, not just in the Main Street market, but even the prime London market could suffer slightly next year. So you're seeing kind of these lenders who were most comfortable with the higher loan to value kind of restricting it slightly. So, for example, if you would have wanted a 75% interest-only loan to value. Now, lenders such as Barclays Wealth would say, perhaps, okay, we're happy to give you 70% interest only, but that extra 5% we want on a kind of capital repayment basis. So, actually, I mean, it's kind of restricting the amount of what you can get on interest only. But brokers are saying, actually, don't worry too much, because private banks are so much more flexible than high street lenders. They're actually agreeing to kind of, so rather than just having to put the repayment basis on a monthly basis, which would put, you know, skyrocket monthly payments and make it kind of quite unaffordable for most private clients, they're now actually agreeing that, you know, they'll do it in these kind of bullet payments. So there's one-off payments that will be structured in line with when you get your bonus. So say if you got your bonuses on a quarterly basis, you'd be able to pay, like, say, a certain amount of that extra loan and those on each quarter basis, or on an annual basis, you want, if that's what suits you better.
So you can be flexible. It doesn't have to be monthly repayments of capital. For those of us who are neither eligible for a loan from a private bank nor in receipt of quarterly bonuses, like me, what about the high street? You mentioned that the high street was not as flexible, but who are the sort of the most welcoming lenders?
I think most people are saying that Nationwide are still fairly flexible. They offer up to about 90% on interest-only basis. But again, with all high street lenders, most of them, I mean, over the past 6 months, we've seen this massive, like, you know, tightening of kind of policies on interest-only. So all of them will require, you know, an acceptable repayment vehicle. So they want to see evidence that you can pay this back, either in the form of an ISA, you know, stocks and shares, that type of thing. Nationwide also has those kind of acceptable repayment vehicles that you have to comply to, but it's much, much more flexible in terms of actually how high a loan to value you can get. I mean, majority in the market in the high street, you typically get about 75% now on interest only. There are some lenders that will do a similar thing to private banks and actually let you pay the rest of the loan, the higher proportion, on a kind of repayment basis. But I think there's only a couple that do that. So it's kind of important that you actually really look at the kind of criteria, what people say, and, you know, look closely at the details.
So yes, look at the restrictions and look at the private banks and the high street. Tanya, thank you very much indeed for that. And for more on the best buy interest-only mortgages that are still available. Look out for Tanya's article in the money section of this weekend's FT. But that's all for this week's FT Money Show. Remember, you will find weekday news updates and all of these stories on our website, ft.com/money. And if you have a question that you'd like us to answer about any aspect of your finances, just email us. The address is money@ft.com. Next week, we'll bring you another financial lowdown in downloadable form. But until then, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Tanya, Alice, and our special studio guest, Jamie Bullock of Barclays Wealth.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.